I'm Francis Lamb, and this is The Splendid Table from APM, American Public Media, a show for curious cooks and eaters. In San Francisco's Mission District, in a pleasant but unassuming gray building, women are, probably right at this moment, making tamales, frying chicken, and blending hummus. Outside, the sign says La Cocina, which means the kitchen in Spanish. And La Cocina is, for starters, that. It's a nonprofit licensed commercial kitchen. And it was built so that low-income women who were making food at home and selling it informally in their communities could have a legit place to work. But La Cocina realized that's not enough. So they developed a program that also helps these street vendors and chefs work on their business plans, their marketing, logos, get legal help, and everything else they need to know to turn their passion, or their side hustle, or their what-else-am-I-going-to-do gig into real, sustainable careers. And for the past decade and a half, La Cocina has helped well over 100 women launch their own businesses, some of whom have become James Beard Award-nominated chefs. And what I've always admired about La Cocina is how they do their work, you know, how they approach these relationships. They step out of the limelight and let these women tell their own stories. And you can see that in their new cookbook, We Are La Cocina. And we recently got to spend a day driving around the Bay Area with Caleb Zegas, La Cocina's director, visiting some of the women they've helped. It was a delicious day, but inspiring and moving, and we're so excited to bring you some of their stories. So we hopped in the car, and I'll let Caleb tell you who we're talking to first.
So we're going to meet Lamiz Dabhor, who owns Mama Lamiz. It's in the middle of Ramadan right now, so she's in the middle of her fast, which doesn't affect what she needs to do. She's just going to go straight through the stop sign. So she's been catering all day, so she's on her way back from a catering job, back to La Cocina. So prepped for the catering job at La Cocina, and then we'll meet us back there.
And she is like super devout about her fast. Like, this is, she's not going to play around with it. So she, can she taste her food while she's cooking?
No, it's been a pretty big concern for her about how she's going to produce during Ramadan. And so we have worked with her so that she's producing a lot of the core flavors the night before the events that she's doing so she can taste it at nighttime.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so smart. I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, man. She is amazing.
So we got to La Cocina and it was buzzing with energy. Cooks were prepping for a food cart here or a catering gig there, you know, cuisines from around the world. And Lamiz comes out with this huge smile. She served us what she called a little snack in a quiet space behind the kitchen, and we talked about how she got to where she is today.
I worked for the United Nations called UNRWA for 16 years, and then I moved to work for the Embassy of Yemen, the consulate section here in San Francisco, for almost like 10 years.
Yeah. So how did you decide that food was actually the thing you wanted to do professionally?
Yeah, so basically I never like came to my mind that I'm gonna run a food business. And during to the situation that I went through here in the United States after I immigrated with my family, and as I end up as a domestic violence, you know, victim, and getting divorced from my ex-husband, which made the situation really worse to be a single mom with the three kids. By asking for one of my rights, I got punished from, you know, the community. You know, I got punished from my ex-husband that we will not give you any support because divorce is not kind of like a really acceptable thing in our culture. So when I end up, you know, single mom in the beginning, it was like financially I struggled a lot. My three kids were there, like two little. Ziad was like 4 years. Tassin was like in first grade. Lubna was in third grade. And at this point, I was like, all of them fell in school. Yeah. And I don't know, like I went through, I can say like, I have to go to court. I have to fight for my rights. I have to work 24/7 to get the money for my kids. I have to focus for on my kids, like make sure they succeed. Unfortunately, the first 2 years was like a miserable year for me. So I started, you know, looking for help, especially for my kids, and, you know, putting flyers all over San Francisco, libraries, private schools, colleges, you know, like, guys, I need help for my kids. And a lot of people volunteered to tutor them one-on-one. And after 1 year, my kids started getting like 4.0 and getting like honor certificates. And my son, he graduated with chemistry biology award from high school. And he's now got a full ride scholarship to a private college.
Amazing.
Studying a pre-med.
Amazing.
Yeah, my daughter, I signed her up in San Francisco Police Academy. She became a cadet. And after that, she started working at the Mission Police Station for almost like 1 year. And after she graduated from high school, she decided to study biology, chemistry, forensics. So she's going to graduate next week.
Congratulations.
May 24th. And I have one in high school. He's addicted to sport. He's a way different than his, you know, siblings. But he's smart. He got 2 jobs with the UCSF at the research department so far since he was in 10th grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that wasn't easy on a single mom to be like running here and there.
Sure.
And the food business started when they graduated and they said like, oh, mama, we need gift cards for the principal, you know, and the assistant, and the teacher and the staff. And I said, what? That's really tough on me financially. So the idea came like, okay, I'll make them a feast and serve them with our traditional food. Very authentic, you know, Palestinian dishes. And everyone like outside the school, like staring at me, you're crazy sitting behind, you know, a computer and a desk and working for a consulate, working per hour. You could make a million over this food. And I told them, I never thought like I'm going to be a chef or, you know, running a food business.
Yeah.
The same thing from the manager. I live in a low housing income and the manager tried my food many times and she started encouraging me also at the same thing. And she said, let me see, you're wasting your time. I think it's about time to open your food business.
Wow.
So I am not the one who looked, you know, for La Cocina. She's the one who helped me over. And I was lucky to know that a few blocks away from my house that there is La Cocina. And I, you know, I ride my bike, I came here, I met the first one, Leticia, and she said, oh, okay, first of all, you have to do your business plan.
Okay.
You have to attend an orientation. And after that, we have to try your food. And then when she said the business plan, I was like, hell no, I don't know, what is that? You know, my English language at that time doesn't help me. You know, I was like, one of my sisters, she is having a master's degree in business. Mm. And I went to her and I told her, Ruba, can you help me over this? And honestly, in the beginning, I thought like, it's a lot of work. Why we have to do this?
Right.
But now I understand it's what it was like the right thing to do in the beginning before starting any business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's one of the really amazing things I think about La Cocina, right? Where it's
yeah.
not just here, here's a kitchen, come cook and sell your food and good luck. It's no, here's how to set yourself up so that when you go
exactly.
out with your food.
Exactly. So
successful.
Here in La Cocina, they connect you, the good thing. They work with you in many different areas, marketing, financing, you know, even how to adapt from a residential kitchen to a commercial kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really for me the hard part. You know, how to start producing a huge quantity in like a short time. Also, they helped us how to build up our brand, our logo, how to design our business cards, you know, how to open a website. Also, they were able to help me with the legal stuff, you know, just to make sure that I picked the right identity for my company and how to protect myself and my family as a mom from being an owner of a business.
Yeah.
So finally, we decided to go with a C Corp. So our business is called Taboon, a brood catering company. Taboon is a clay oven. It's in my dad's back home town.
Yeah.
They get used, not of course, there is no gas, no BG&E, nothing. So people use kind of like a clay oven. And they cook everything on it. So I called it Taboon, a brood catering company, doing business as Mama Lemise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you say you've learned so much from La Cocina, but I think you've also taught them a lot as well. And I think one of the things you taught them is how to have their operation and accommodate a halal kitchen, which you keep.
Yes, and it was kind of like in the beginning, kind of like a struggle for me and challenge to deal with, because it's a space. They provide us with a space that a lot of businesses from different countries, from different religion, working to produce their food mm-hmm. on the same spot. So in the beginning, I went to Caleb and I told him, Caleb, you know, I'm Muslim. I can't cook on whatever that had been cooked with pork mm-hmm. or bacon or that stuff. And he was like, right away, Lamiz, I know that there is like halal food and there is kosher food and there is like, you know, and we respect all the religions. So he got the idea like, Lamiz, you can bring your stuff, whatever you need, the pots, you know, utensils. And we also make sure every time we use the sink or anything like that is in common between other businesses mm-hmm. to be like washed again and sanitized, just to make sure that we are providing, you know, halal.
Well, let me ask you this. Thank you so much for having us during Ramadan. And again, we just thought, hey, let's go have this interview. And you have absolutely... Yeah. Covered this table with food. We need to talk about how you cook this chicken in a minute.
Yeah, the locals feast from the Middle East, so expect that.
But so it is Ramadan. So how did you cook all this food without tasting it?
I know I'm fasting, but I'm sure definitely all the seasoning, all the salt part here in my, you know, food, 100% is right, like the perfect taste. Mm. So when, you know, I think the experience when I came to La Cucina, you know, and they connect me with a restaurant kind of like expert who focus on writing the ingredients and the recipe for each dish. You know, he, in the beginning, he saw me just grabbing the spices and, you know, sprinkling how the, my mom get used to do it.
Yeah.
And he said, let me, no, this is not right. You have to have a measuring, you know, spoons, measuring cups, measuring everything. And in the beginning, it was like, I'm not that patient to do that stuff. I just want to do the, you know, I want to get the flavor that I want.
Yeah, yeah, by sight, but by taste.
Yeah, so putting me on, like, on the right track, how to write the recipe and the ingredients for each dish, that was very helpful.
How did you learn to cook?
My mom. When I was too little, I am addicted to the kitchen.
Hmm.
Yeah, I love to be in the kitchen. If you leave me in the kitchen 24/7, I don't say no. Like, you know, it's, I feel it's like
I can tell looking at my the kingdom. Light snack you made.
Yeah, my kingdom. And I'm really happy that we're getting kind of like a continuous catering orders that keeps me busy inside the kitchen.
So right now you're doing catering, but you're also working towards your next step as a business person, right?
Yeah, so that's the, also one of the really good part about La Cucina. In the beginning, they keep asking you, what's your dream? What are you, like, you know, looking for? What's your future, you know? So they connected me already with a small kiosk in Emeryville Marketplace mm-hmm. where, you know, I'm going to start as a Palestinian, you know, food vendor there.
Mm.
So the good part about La Cucina, when I explained to them that my goal is to open my own commercial kitchen rather than opening a restaurant, so I can spend more time and be, like, having a big catering, you know, business that do service from A to Z rather than opening a restaurant. And part of your time has to go to the customers, you know, and being outside the kitchen. Hopefully, you know, we become like a big catering company from A to Z. So we already did some weddings, and we were like really happy that we got an amazing reviews from the guest and, you know, the bride and the groom, that they loved the food. They were like amazed with the presentation and the taste.
I love that you said you don't want to have a restaurant because you don't have to deal with guests. Like, you just love cooking. Like, you want to have a business cooking. Just the kitchen.
Yeah, I love cooking, you know, and I love to be in the kitchen. So I'm doing something I love, really I love.
Okay, so I know you can't eat with us. I'm sorry about that, but that's fine. But I'm going to eat. So why don't you tell us what I'm going to eat?
So for the appetizer part, we are serving today the mutabbal, and it's like a roasted smoked eggplant.
Mm.
And of course, we serve it usually with homemade pita bread. And we have a finger food called Ijja, and this is like the most running item in our menu. And it's everyone delicious. Like, for example, I have a catering tomorrow. They ask for 600 pieces. Yeah, and it is a cabbage, cauliflower, carrots, you know, fritters. And we got also the honor certificate from the mayor here in San Francisco, city and county, for this dish specifically.
They're so crisp and bouncy and chewy.
We serve their guys is the basmati rice, and it's also vegan and gluten free. And we season it also with olive oil, you know, oregano. Oregano, we use a lot of oregano in Palestine, with a veggie broth and a mix of vegetables, where we add our own garbanzo beans to it from scratch, so we can give an option for the people who are vegan to get another different type of protein beside the bees. And there at this plate, we have two types of chicken. We have a roasted chicken that we usually, you know, go through a lot of steps before we cook it. So we have to soak it in vinegar, lemon juice, salt for a while. And then we marinate it for 2 days with the chopped onion, olive oil, and our spices. And after that, we kind of like grill it. And after that, we roast it inside the oven. The chicken skewers also the same thing. We marinate it for at least like the more you marinate, like 2-3 days, the more the flavors gets into the chicken. And we focus like to have kind of like a juicy. Hopefully we're getting it juicy. I didn't try it. And we usually garnish it with a sliced almond, bell pepper, and sumac. So we use sumac a lot in our dishes.
Yeah.
And we got the sumac from Palestine too.
The flavor is amazing. Marinating with the onion, the chicken is so beautiful. Thank you so much, Lamise.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy that you guys like the food and everything turned good.
That was Lamise Dabor of Mama Lamise. And if you go to our website, you can find a recipe for her makluba, an upside-down layered rice cake with vegetables. Check it out, splendidtable.org. We're visiting the San Francisco Bay Area this week, meeting aspiring food vendors and restaurateurs with Caleb Zegas, director of the nonprofit small business incubator La Cocina. So we're in our little rental car, heading towards the East Bay to meet another La Cocina alum. But in the car, we started talking about the interview we just did with Lamise Dabor and the feast she set out for us. And, you know, I mean, we told her we've been eating all day, please don't put yourself out. And she said she wanted to give us a little snack, which turned out to be a table full of two kinds of roast chicken, dips, flatbreads, little vegetable fritters, rice. It was wild. And then Caleb brought up something interesting about La Cocina's relationship with Mama Lamise.
The other thing that's been really fascinating with her in our experience with her is that she really does live in like a lifestyle of Arab hospitality, which means you are gifted food all of the time. But we have a pretty strict policy inside of La Cocina as employees of La Cocina that we should not be accepting free food from the entrepreneurs.
For sure, for sure.
It's business. Like we want to pay you for your food. It's the whole reason we exist. But that doesn't, to the right here, that doesn't translate well because she's not offering food, you know.
That's a transactional thing she's offering because she wants to give it to you.
Yeah. So now we have these things whenever there's a celebration for her and her family, she sends a long, because I had to sit down and have this conversation with her and explain to her that, listen, I can't have our staff taking free food from you because it's just not right. And we need to pay. And obviously we want to celebrate with you and you want to celebrate. We don't want to say no to your gifts. It's very complicated, and it was a very hard conversation. But so now whenever she has a celebration, she sends a long text message explaining that she is celebrating, and as part of her cultural celebration, they cook and share food. And so, for instance, when her daughter graduated college, she brought all of us these braised whole fava beans in tahini, which were exceptional.
Yeah, it's a tricky little problem, right? But it also showed me one of the beauties of being an organization that works with people from around the world. You have to constantly educate yourself on all these different cultural tendencies to be the best partner you can be. And you can approach that as a chore, or you can do it as La Cocina does, as a way to make yourself better, more empathetic, and more human.